here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello there.
Today is Friday, September 30th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories. It has been a really busy week, actually, and we'll be taking a look at a pair of IPO announcements, a pretty huge decision out of OPEC this week, and we'll also be taking a look at the latest Twitter buyout rumors, giving our own little insights as to who we think would best fit with the struggling social media site. But first, we're going to start out with some eyebrow-raising news from music streaming giant Spotify.
Yeah. So on Wednesday, the Financial Times reported that Spotify is in talks to acquire SoundCloud, which is a platform that maybe you could say emerging artists use to upload their music, to share their music with their fans, and kind of broadcast it on social media. So SoundCloud is based in Germany, and it has actually over 125 million songs. And it launched its own paid service earlier this year, but that hasn't really caught
SoundCloud
on.
SoundCloud Go.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. And if the deal goes through, Spotify would then eliminate another player. It's maybe not it's a strong player, but maybe not necessarily a well-known player.
Yeah, definitely.
In the music streaming industry.
In the business, if you will. I think it's pretty well-known now, pretty common name for music fans.
Definitely.
People who listen to music on their phone, especially. But yeah, it's not one of the ones we talk about when we talk about music streaming as a big business.
No, no. Usually it's...
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because of... Like you said, the idea of it was that it was a good platform for emerging artists because it's relatively cheap to... Anyone can create an account, and then it's relatively affordable for you to maintain that account. And you can post as much as you'd want. And there's kind of like a social element where you can tag it your music with hashtags, and it can be searched through, and there's playlists and whatnot. And it's really big for emerging artists, as you said, people who do remixes, people who do...
Yeah, that's where I've listened to a lot of remixes of like super popular songs, whether it's uploaded by the artist, like that artist themselves, or like remixed by an unknown artist.
That's the absolute trouble with it, though, is that it's become an absolute mess legally.
true.
Because the ease of access has made it easy for these kind of remix or DJ. It's big for DJs to post like mixes, like two hour long DJ mixes or whatever. The issue with that then is that it's really hard to keep track of who owns what and who should be getting paid out for what, and who has the rights to everything. And it's an absolute mess. And they tried to fix it with the SoundCloud Go, crack down a little bit harder on illegal remixes or not approved mixes. And big name artists and record labels now have previews on SoundCloud where you can go and listen to 30-second clips of all the songs on an album. And then this like one or two singles, you can stream the whole thing. But yeah, it hasn't caught on, as you said, at all.
So SoundCloud, so if the deal goes through, SoundCloud is going to be the, like, out of the two parties, they're going to be the one that kind of stands to benefit the most.
I would agree.
Because, I mean, Spotify is eyeing an IPO most likely next year at some point. And SoundCloud actually has... some pretty high profile investors. Twitter is one of them. So if they get bought out, their valuation is around $700 million. And if they get bought out at that price, their investors and their shareholders will, I mean,
definitely
get a pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting to note though that the $700 million valuation has
not grown
for a couple of years now. When you're a tech startup, that's disheartening.
Yeah. So that's probably why it's not going to be a huge deal for Spotify. I feel like in like this kind of transaction, it's just Spotify trying to eliminate as many players as they can
Yeah.
before they go public.
Definitely.
But also this week, Spotify announced that they are launching their services in Japan as part of like their Asia expansion venture. So they will be the first music streaming service to offer their free ad-supported music service as well as its ad-free subscription service in Japan. But it's going to be hard, I think, well, after like reading a few articles about it, because Japanese consumers still buy and consume music, preferably physically. So they like to go out and buy CDs, records, instead of digitally streaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's because they didn't have Spotify.
Maybe that's why, right? So, I mean, Spotify just hit 40 million paid subscribers recently, which is huge. So hopefully entering into Japan will boost that and maybe possibly even change the way Japanese consumers listen to music. Yeah, so as the music streaming industry is definitely going to be in for quite a big shakeup soon, and with the competitors like Apple Music, you have Google Play, Amazon Prime, Tidal, they're all continuing to grow. Spotify will need to keep up, and keep adapting if it wants to maintain its quite large market share. So speaking of market share, Ryan, there was some interesting news this week from a company that has a strong market share in its own industry.
Yeah, so that industry is the tequila business. You heard me correctly, the alcoholic...
Tequila.
Yeah, tequila. We don't have the rights to the song, but cue the tequila song and whatnot.
Are you a fan of tequila?
No.
No. Long story short, not a fan.
But
maybe if it goes public.
Yeah, no, I'm certainly interested in this investment opportunity. I'll say that much. That's right. I mean, we're talking about Jose Cuervo and
tequila icon, if you will.
Tequila icon, the premier North American tequila brand. We mentioned market share because Jose Cuervo is not just the world's largest tequila maker. It has a 33%, about a one-third share of the global tequila market. Every corner of the earth, they are putting Jose Cuervo in their margaritas. This is a really, really popular brand, and they filed for an IPO this week. It was one of the ones that our friends from Renaissance Capital had identified in their report.
Just to note, they are on quite the streak. Most IPOs that have
They're on a heater. Yeah, they've called a couple of great ones. We didn't learn a ton from the filing this week, other than the fact that they are confirmed interested in going public soon, and the various underwriters of the deal and whatnot. Didn't get a ticker yet. Kind of interested in what that's going to be. I'm thinking of a million cool tequila plays, but like TQLA, is that taken yet? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I would like a cut, please, for that idea. But yeah, so it looks like it could be anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion. Most media reports are suggesting that this IPO could generate up to $1 billion.
That's huge.
So yeah, I mean,
pretty big.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. I'm receiving word that there already is a TQLA stock.
Oh,
so
man.
I think it's another alcohol maker. Oh, it's Montalvo Spirits Inc.
Oh.
I don't know it.
So what's like a good abbreviation for easy hangover? Because that's what they should.
Just go with Jose, most
Jose.
Likely.
Well,
but
yeah, a little boring. But yeah, I could see it.
But anyway, so this is noteworthy not just because of the size, but also the history of Jose Cuervo. This was originally bottled in 1795, and it's become somewhat of a family business. It's owned and operated by the Beckman family of Mexico, who are direct descendants of Don Jose Antonio de Cuervo, who was the first person to brew it.
I don't know how they make tequila.
They just squeeze the juice out of cactuses and then they let it sit for a while and then it's tequila.
Throw a lime. Maybe some salt.
So yeah, not a ton revealed in the filing. We did get some updated sales numbers though. Jose Cuervo said that in 2015, it had sales of nearly 20 billion pesos, which translates to about $1.02 billion. Up about 25% from 2014. And first half of 2016 sales numbers were 12.2 billion pesos. So on track for even more growth this year. Nice. Definitely interesting. I'm excited to see how that plays out, not just to see what the ticker ends up being, but certainly anytime you get one of these deeply brands with deep, rich history and, that has been a private company for such a long time, is noteworthy. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
So we also got another IPO announcement this week from Playa Hotels.
Yes.
Playa Hotels and Resorts filed an S-1 form with the SEC detailing its proposed IPO. No prices were specified in the filing, but its IPO is supposedly up to $100 to $300 million. I think they filed for something
for around $100 million.
They said it was going to generate $100 million in the IPO. However, our friends from Renaissance Capital, another plug for them, check out our interview with Kathleen Smith. It's wonderful. said that figure is likely a placeholder. And the real value of the deal could be up to $300 million.
Yeah, definitely.
So Playa Hotel, they did give us a ticker. So they're planning on listing on the NASDAQ Global Select Market under the ticker PLYA. For those of you who don't know, Playa Hotels owns 13 all-inclusive beach resorts in a lot of really popular touristy destination, tropical vacation destination.
Mexico, Dominican Republic. Sorry, stuttered there. And Jamaica, yes.
Yes, the type of place you go and drink a lot of Jose Cuervo tequila.
Yes.
So maybe there's something there.
Two timely IPOs.
Yes. So the company was founded in 2016. It's based in Amsterdam. And it reported roughly $481 million in sales during the 12 months ending on June 30th, 2016. So, cool. I didn't even really recognize the relation that these two kind of have until expressing
right?
it. But two cool IPO announcements this week. You know, us on the Finish Line, we love our IPOs. So we had to cover that. In some seriously major news from an international's perspective, we got some reports from a meeting from OPEC this week that is going to have hopefully some good news for what has been just eternally slumping oil prices.
Yeah. Also, did you know that OPEC members are referred to as a cartel?
Yeah. Every time I read that, I don't write it like when I write about OPEC.
Yeah.
I don't say it like that because I have like a pretty negative connotation with the word cartel in my head.
I feel like it's
that's
across the
board. Pretty commonly
Anyways,
used.
I find it interesting.
Yeah.
But on Wednesday, crude oil futures saw quite a nice boost. They spiked around 4.88% to $46.85 per barrel in late afternoon trading that day. After the announcement that OPEC had reached an agreement to cut its oil output for the first time since 2008, sources told Reuters that the group would reduce output to 32.5 million barrels per day from current production of 33.24 million barrels per day. So the leaders or the members of the OPEC cartel, they spent 2 days in Algiers, which is the capital of Algeria. I believe.
Oh, maybe. Look at you.
Discussing the potential for a cut in oil output.
I
don't know if it's the capital, but I do know it's in Algeria. And Algeria is a member of OPEC, I also believe. Fingers crossed I'm saying this right. But one of the points that I found was interesting is that Saudi Arabia, which is the largest oil producer, they'll likely cut production by 350,000 barrels per day, and that Iran, Libya, and Nigeria will not be part of the agreement, and they will continue to actually increase production by as much as 1.5 million barrels per day collectively.
Oh, it's still a mess.
Yeah, still kind of a, it's like good news, but still kind of a mess. But the full details of the oil output cuts by each member won't be finalized until their next meeting, which will be on November 30th in Vienna. And kind of, so crude oil up on Thursday as well, up 1.28% in late afternoon trading to $47.64 a barrel. But on the day of the announcement, I mean, anything oil related just was
soaring.
had gained across the board. So think Exxon, Chevron.
This is, I mean, it makes sense because this is the type of announcement that people have been waiting for a very long time from OPEC. Since the cartel, I guess we're now just referring to them as a cartel. Maybe this is a new thing for us, but since the entity decided to just flood the global market with oil a few years back to kind of choke out U.S. competitors.
Yeah, it was in 2014 where oil was prices were like over $100 a barrel. So this oil cut, consumers are going to, you know, see the effect and feel the effect. Prices at the pump are going to go up a little bit.
And it's also a friendly reminder to those who forgot that as much as we've tried to shift our energy dependency back home in the U.S., and we now produce a lot more of our own oil from thinking back to like a decade ago, and as well as our recent investments in alternative energy, OPEC still has a lot of power in the international energy market. So
I do not disagree.
This news about the cuts, good news for oil prices. But not the end all be all. Just not the complete solution that a
and
lot
I guess
of people
you could
were looking
say that
for. So
it like the semi solution, semi agreement, kind of reflects the tension. Between OPEC members, you know,
it's getting to the point though where these countries, the countries in OPEC that were so cash rich that they could afford to basically be losing money on their oil business because they just had so much money built up, they're still doing fine. I mean, Saudi Arabia is the head honcho of this in a lot of these discussions, and it's not like we're hearing about Saudi Arabian citizens starving, but other countries that depend on oil for national revenue, there's literally economic crisis as people are hungry, can't get food in Venezuela, for example. I mean, this policy of just flooding the oil markets has gotten to a point where it's reaching its tipping point. And I think that these types of meetings, this meeting in Algiers was kind of an emergency meeting of sorts. It was kind of slapped together really quickly. It was not a previously scheduled one. I think we're going to start seeing more of these over the next 6 months to a year because output is just still too dang much. So,
yes.
Expertly put.
Yes.
All right. Should we move to our big story this week?
I would love to.
Great. Twitter.
Twitter.
Just when you were kind of sick of talking about how bad Twitter has been performing all year, its shares skyrocketed last week. It was last Friday, actually. Came into the office and Twitter was up 16% because of a CNBC report that a takeover bid could be imminent. So that was looking like, at the time, it was looking like Salesforce getting prepped for a really serious bid, as well as Alphabet Inc. / Google was a potential suitor. And then come Monday, of this week, shares were edging a little bit higher because of a Bloomberg report that suggested Disney was also preparing their own
bid.
Yeah. Yes, talking to getting the people together to get make a move like that.
So seemingly out of nowhere, but not really.
No.
There's quite a few ties between Twitter and Disney.
Yeah, it was like a week ago we just decided, okay, this is happening now. But in reality, I mean, I think people have been talking about it. Someone's got to buy Twitter for a very long time.
Yeah.
And the company has been struggling mightily, failing to grow its user base for years now. Revenue generation efforts have been fruitless, I guess would be a way to say
it. There have been quite a few tries.
I think the latest disappointing thing we heard is that the first stream of a Thursday Night Football game viewership was just nowhere near where they wanted it to be. The bringing Jack Dorsey back on board. How long has that been going? I can't even remember when he rejoined full time
at Twitter.
Yeah. / not full time. Cause he's also at Square, but
yeah,
he was the interim for a while and they were looking for other CEOs. And then as you'd have it, no one wanted the job. So they settled on, keeping him, on as the, permanent CEO. It's now getting to a point where even though he's a co-founder, how long does the board keep Dorsey in that position?
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple reminders. Twitter's currently, the market cap is around $16.25 billion. So certainly a hefty purchase for whoever is interested. However, you know, I think now it's got to be the right time to buy. I think this right now is where the value is, because, and I think we've got some questions to ask here about who fits best with Twitter. Where does Twitter fit best with another company? But they've certainly got a lot of valuable things going for them if it can be shaped or molded into something that creates value for shareholders. So this Thursday Night Football thing, viewership may have been disappointing, but that doesn't negate the fact that they have the rights to like 10 NFL games this year.
Yeah.
And NFL is big business and they've got rights to stream Major League Baseball games and National Hockey League games. And they've got two shows that are centered around the National Basketball Association that are going to be live streaming on Twitter for free. They've got to deal with the Pac-12 to stream some college sports. And so for me, if you can see where I'm going here.
No, I'm not sure.
if you can see where I'm going here, one of the potential suitors that we mentioned was Disney. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but they happen to own the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, who has also been struggling over the past year or so. In Disney's latest earnings report, we heard some positive signs about ESPN starting to grow again and the company spinning off, or not really spinning off, but creating a over-the-top streaming service, ESPN-branded streaming service that was going to offer some live sports options for cord cutters. And that's certainly good news, and it shows that Disney's willing to adapt and change the ESPN model. Hey, another great idea. We've got all these awesome sports things going on over at Twitter. Why don't we integrate the two? So I think the idea with the live streaming on Twitter to begin with was that sports fans are already interacting with their sports teams and their games on Twitter. As someone who follows sports relatively closely, my Twitter newsfeed is centered around sports. When there's big games going on, when my teams are playing.
Yes, but are you watching the games on Twitter?
I'm not thus far because I haven't had quite the opportunity yet, but I'm seeing the interaction there. I am interacting with the games on Twitter. I'm using the cool hashtags that they've made for the NFL teams this year. I'm talking to my friends about it. I'm reading reports. I'm following my teams, all these things. To me, it makes sense, you know, and I'm not a creative genius who's in charge of all these things, but it doesn't seem like too far of a leap to get kind of full-blown ESPN Twitter integration. I'm thinking about ways that you know, you could have more ESPN related shows live streaming on Twitter, even further I mean, ESPN already broadcasts people's tweets and things all the time. I mean, you can increase the amount of interaction that you have with Twitter on ESPN's regularly broadcasted shows. To me, that there's a lot of potential there. I don't know how you feel about it. It seems like you've got some question marks, though.
No, I agree. I think it's almost like a match made in heaven, mm-hmm. a little bit.
Because I'm going to save that phrase, though, because I'm going to hit you with another great idea in a second.
Can't wait. But I also want to point out that Jack Dorsey is on Disney's board.
That's true, yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be a conflict of interest or how that play, or how, if that is even a factor.
I wish I knew the legal processes of that.
Yeah. So it could be an issue. It could be not.
There's definitely some compliance things that have to be thought about there. But I think that it could be less of a hindrance and more of a foot in the door already for the talks to begin. So
no, but and I think I agree. I think that's probably why Disney made a seemingly mm-hmm. random bid. Mm-hmm. But
it certainly seems less random when you break it down. Exactly. Though.
Yeah. But I think the sports relationship makes sense, but it also, I mean, Twitter live streamed the recent presidential debate mm-hmm. and Disney also owns ABC News, I think. So they mm-hmm. think there's potential to get in on
definitely,
other kind of like big, widely watched events like debates. But no, I agree. Like I mean, I enjoy sports, but I also, I mean, I would never think to go to Twitter to watch a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that Disney, with the backing of a media company like Disney, mm-hmm. it could help that. Like, it could help Twitter's ventures.
I don't want to just be speaking in hyperbole all the time, but, or this is less hyperbole, but more of a metaphor analogy type of thing. I don't know my words anymore. What you just said about I like sports, but I would never think to go to Twitter to watch sports reminds me a lot of what people 30, 40 years ago when ESPN first launched. I'm hoping I have my timeline of ESPN right, but they were saying the same thing about ESPN. I like sports, but not enough that I would watch a 24/7
news
sports
channel.
Yeah. So
no, you have, that's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could just be a matter of conditioning in that we could be getting more used to Twitter having sports streaming options over time. We can't forget about our other two companies.
No, but I just want to say one more thing about live streaming in general. It's still so new.
Yeah, it is.
That I think just getting used to live streaming any event that I could tune in to ABC.
Oh, hey, I don't have to turn on my TV.
I also don't have to have cable.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways.
Okay, so before I hit you with my next brilliant idea, I'm going to talk about one that does, to me, seem a little bit more random as well. We can help each other walk through this one where it does make a little bit more sense. The Salesforce bid. Because that one, according to the CNBC report, seems like the most definitely we're going to see a Salesforce offer soon.
Well, wasn't the CEO like tweeting about it?
That was their chief of technology.
Oh, CTO.
It wasn't the CEO, but it was a Salesforce employee. He had to quickly follow up with, these are just my personal opinions about Twitter. I don't know anything about a buyout. But that certainly fueled the conversation. Mm-hmm. This one is a little bit less obvious to me, and maybe just kind of talking about it will clear something up for me. Salesforce is a cloud-based client relations services company.
Which is a little vague when you say it like that.
They're not a media company. They don't have a social media presence. They're an enterprise level cloud company.
So not something that
the connections aren't jumping off the page to me. I know that they were interested in LinkedIn before the Microsoft deal happened, and Microsoft ended up making a better offer. That makes more sense to me though, because of LinkedIn's association with businesses and enterprise level activity there. But yeah, I just don't know what Salesforce would do.
Well, Salesforce is also something like you said it's an enterprise kind of thing. It's not something that an everyday consumer would go to seek out.
Mm-hmm.
What
is the motive then? Because is that
maybe Salesforce, to reach those individual consumers?
Or on the other hand, you could be saying, well, maybe we'll shift Twitter's focus to
enterprise.
Yeah, to maybe let's bring Twitter into the office and the office space, and let's make
so a little
Twitter
bit like Facebook at work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it would be easier if it was more of a Salesforce play into this consumer level.
Well, yeah. So, I'm not even sure if Salesforce has a work-based, because Microsoft has Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we use it here at Zacks as like a work-based communications platform. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Salesforce has something like that, and they could use Twitter.
True.
That's definitely
emerging market with things like Slack coming up hard. But yeah, I mean, I think if the price is right, any company making a move on Twitter could potentially do something good with it, because it just at this point is like almost anything is better than the direction it's heading right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely out on a Salesforce bid. I'd be interested in seeing if it does happen, what their first kind of reactions to it are, what their first indications of what they would do with Twitter are. Let's not forget that Twitter has a massive amount of user data, and that alone is very valuable for something like Salesforce.
Yeah.
Final thing I want to touch on, though, is Alphabet/Google bringing Twitter under the Alphabet umbrella. This one also makes a ton of sense to me because of Google's existing social interaction type of platforms online. I'm immediately thinking about YouTube, and how YouTube could incorporate tweets into the comments section, how you could more easily talk about and share videos on Twitter using YouTube links and whatnot.
YouTube live streams.
Yeah, YouTube live streams getting moved to Twitter almost.
But again, with the backing of Google. And the Google's YouTube platform.
Yeah, definitely. YouTube Live has certainly become something that is more accessible or more known. It's easier to use YouTube Live now than it was a year or so ago. It's something that they've invested in, and their big content creators are definitely starting to live stream on YouTube a lot more frequently. So I'm seeing a connection with live streaming there. Again, Google is another company that would benefit greatly from this just raw amount of
user data
that Twitter has.
And also, Google doesn't really have a social media presence it's like Google Hangout, Google Plus.
Didn't work out for anything, did it?
So having something like Twitter would also be beneficial. But so you have Salesforce, Google, Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are huge corporations that would benefit from having Twitter in their own way. But you also have to think who else is going to kind of come out.
We
want Twitter too.
These are just the ones that we've heard leaks or rumors. This person told somebody who knows something about it.
Facebook,
who told CNBC.
If Facebook will be interested, or will try and scoop it up.
Just kill the competition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not a bad. People have suggested it. It's definitely not a.
It's not a new idea.
Not a crazy idea. You almost wonder if anyone that was interested in Yahoo, who did not make that deal when Verizon scooped up Yahoo. If anyone would be interested in similar reasons, as we've talked about on the show, when that deal happened, Yahoo's sheer amount of original content that they own now, Twitter has, as we talked to, an extensive content library of things that they have the rights to, if you will. So maybe there's something there for a communications company or one of the other giant media conglomerates out there.
Viacom, Time Warner, 21st Century Fox.
It's gonna. I'm assuming we'll see multiple offers. I'm assuming we'll see several rounds of offers like we had with Yahoo.
Literally, Twitter will be sitting back and just waiting for the best one to come plopping right down in front of them.
I wouldn't want to be Jack Dorsey right now. I think he's losing. He's probably not getting a ton of sleep. But it really does look like finally Twitter buyout is imminent. Of course, we're going to sound really silly if all these bits get rejected and Twitter says we're not interested.
Thanks, but no thanks.
But I don't see that necessarily playing out like that. So anyway, I think that's about it for this week. Like we said, a busy one, but we will be back next week with even more news and headlines. As always, you can check out all of our coverage on all of these stories in the links in the accompanying article. Remember to like and follow the podcast. Thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you next week.